Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we will begin. Let's see, where are we going to begin? Yep, we'll start in verse 8, where we read just a moment ago. Now unto him that is able. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the confidence that we can have in you, knowing that you are able to do all things. There are no limitations in you. And it gives us confidence to walk day by day, knowing that whatever we need, you are able to grant it. May our lives reflect glory back to you for what you are able to do for us. Bless these truths to our hearts as we study your word this day, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When people think that they are nothing more than a species of animal, as many people do today, they invest all of their energy in the care and nurturing of their physical bodies. Some pursue beauty. Some seek after health and fitness. Others desire physical strength, building up their muscles and striving to perform amazing feats of strength. The truth is, our body is nothing but a vehicle. The real person, who we are, resides inside of this body. Each of us has a soul and a spirit, which are two parts of our inner man. And there are a number of times when God makes a distinction between our outward man and our inner man. And he indicates to us that the greatest strength that we can experience is not physical in nature, but in the spirit, in the inner man. The lesson of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 through the end of the chapter, is about how this is possible. He tells us in verses 8 and 9 that there are unsearchable riches in Christ. Unto me, he says, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, which, of course, includes the gospel and many other things. Now, those unsearchable riches in Christ are fully manifested through the church, he says in verses 10 and 11, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, not only on the earth, but throughout the heavenlies, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the purpose, eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now those unsearchable riches, by those things, we who are in the church, by the unsearchable riches of Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence. Verse 12. Access, or boldness comes first. Boldness. Boldness is a word that refers to the freedom to speak without reservation. Access, obviously referring to the access that we have to God himself. When the veil was rent and we are given free access by the blood of Christ and the holiest of all. And confidence, a total lack of hesitation. So in light of the fact that we are in possession of, the recipients of the blessings that come from the unsearchable riches of Christ, fully being manifested in the church, He says, I don't want you to ever give up in light of that, verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not. Don't faint. Faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory, he says. The difficulties that one believer is going through can be a discouragement to other believers. Paul being in prison could be a source of discouragement to other believers, but he says, don't let that discourage you. Because the point he will make is, we are not to measure our success by physical limitations. He's physically limited, being in prison, in bonds. Even though he was allowed to live in a separate home, ran his own house, he was still in chains, and a Roman guard was with him all of the time. There were physical limitations, but he says, I don't want you to measure our success as believers by physical limitations. And so he prays for the believers in Ephesus, and for all of us. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And this is what he prayed for them. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let's look at this in some detail. There are three basic prayer requests. The first one we will emphasize a good deal, and that is that God would strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened. To make strong. To increase in strength. This word strengthened describes a growing process of increasing strength. Look over to Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80, in reference to John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. He waxed strong. That's the same word that we have over in Ephesians chapter 3, strengthened, waxed strong. It's also used in reference to Jesus as he was growing physically, Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, where it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. A growing process. You see, a 6-year-old is stronger than a 2-year-old. And a 10-year-old is stronger than a 6-year-old. And a 16-year-old is stronger than a 10-year-old. You get stronger as you grow and your body develops its muscles. It describes a growing process. Well, the same thing can be true about your inner man. There can be a growing process of strengthening in your inner man. So he says that you would be strengthened with might. Now, this is the word dynamite. This is the raw potential power of God. And he says, strengthened with might by his Spirit. It is through the avenue of the Holy Spirit that we can continually increase in our capacity to be strong in the inner man. You see, when the Holy Spirit indwells us, he brings the divine dynamite with him. It's present in us. And this unlimited supply of divine omnipotence is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Paul desires for us, as he prayed for the Ephesians, God desires for us that we would increasingly learn how to access the divine dynamite that is present in us by the Holy Spirit's presence. Now he says that he would grant, I'm sorry, I'll get the right verse here in a moment. What verse do I want? Yeah, that's it. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So, strengthened, growing process, with might, the raw potential power of God, by his Spirit, according to the riches of his glory. God has many things stored up in the riches of his glory. Paul talks about them numerous times in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glorious glory of his inheritance in the saints. Chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. The riches of God, the riches of his glory, the riches of his grace. So here he says that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit according to the riches of his glory. So how much power is stored up in the riches of God's glory? How much power? Psalm 62, verse 11. Psalm 62, verse 11. Just a simple statement, but very profound. David says, as he writes this psalm, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. He is the one who owns power. He owns it. Power is his. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Jeremiah says to the Lord, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Nothing too hard for thee. Now, someone thought they were going to be rather clever. And so they asked this question. In light of the fact that God can do everything, there is nothing that God cannot do. He is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's omni-everything. He's just nothing God cannot do. So, in his cleverness, he asked this question. Is it possible, since there's nothing that God cannot do, is it possible for God to make a rock that he cannot pick up? Now think about it. The suggested dilemma is that either God cannot make a rock that's too big for him to pick up, or that he can make a rock that he cannot pick up. Either way, there's something that he cannot do, right? Ah, we've been stumped. No. The truth is, it's not that God can't do either one of these things. It's that he won't do either one of those things. Because God never does anything that is contrary to his nature. And what is his nature? He's all-powerful. And therefore, he will never do anything contrary to his nature. His divine nature includes unlimited power, which is able to provide to man as a spiritual resource the strength to do in his inner man whatever needs to be done. You see, it's in the inner man, Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, God can make men physically strong if he wants to. Consider Samson. Did he make Samson physically strong? He did indeed. He made Samson so strong that Samson was able to kill a lion with his bare hands. I'd say that's pretty strong. He made Samson so strong that he was able to break the ropes with which he was tied and kill 1,000 Philistines all by himself. I'd say that's pretty strong. And even after Samson had revealed the source of his connection to God, the fact that he had a Nazarite vow, and by having his hair cut, the vow would be broken. Sometime later, when he was blind and standing in the temple of the Philistines and being made fun of, God was able to make him so strong that he brought the house down on top of everybody. And the scripture says that by killing 3,000 Philistines at one time, he killed more in his death than he did in his life. Yes, God can make a man physically strong. But there are not very many Samsons, physically speaking. But God will make many of us, those of us who are willing to submit to the working of the Holy Spirit within our lives, God will make many of us strong in our inner man. Our bodies may increasingly grow weak, but our spirit can increasingly grow strong. You see, you are very distinct from your body. Your body is like a car. Without an occupant, the car can't do anything. Now, I know they're making these smart cars now, but by remote control, you still have to have a man who controls the gadgets that make it do whatever it does or whatever, I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying. Cars don't do things by themselves. They have to be programmed and operated by man. Now, there was a news report that said an SUV swerved across the median and ran into a small car. In the entire news report, there was never a reference to the human being who was driving the SUV. Made it sound like the SUV, the big bully car, was at fault running into this little car. Cars don't do things by themselves. and our bodies don't do things by themselves. Your inner man is the occupant of your body. You're distinct from your body. You are responsible for whatever your body does. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 to 20 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." It's what comes from your inner man that makes you accountable. And that's why this next thing in the text in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 is so important, where it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Christ may dwell. Now, it's not suggesting that as believers we need to seek Christ to come in. The idea of dwelling is different than simply being present. When Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, it is referring to the influence he has within us. Dwelling suggests a presence that has influence. Now, you can occupy a building called a house and never lift a finger to affect the well-being of that building, right? You can just go there and you can dirty the dishes and eat the food and go to bed and sleep and get up and leave and never lift a finger to do anything to keep the place in order. That's not really dwelling. That's existing. To dwell means you would clean the house, do the laundry, make your bed, take out the garbage, and actually dwell there, influence the condition of the place. That's the idea of Christ dwelling in our hearts, that we not only accept the fact that he is present in us, but we welcome his influence on us. We welcome his influence on our hearts and the condition of our hearts, so that what comes out of our inner man is productive. And so he says, the effect of Christ dwelling in us and influencing our inner man will have this effect, verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, that is, the dimensions of God's love. You're rooted and grounded in love, so that you can understand the dimensions of love, so that you can know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. For the normal human being who is outside of Christ, they just can't comprehend the dimensions of God's love. They don't get it. But those of us who have Christ dwelling in our hearts, the potential is, as we accept his influence on our inner man, he builds within us an understanding of the dimensions and the depth and the fullness of God's love, so that at the end of verse 19, we can be filled with all the fullness of God. And it is on the solid rock foundation of the love of Christ that we will find all the strength we need to be strong in our inner man. We'll be so strong in our inner man that we can love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. So strong in our inner man that we'll actually be able to love our wife or love our husband in the same manner that Christ has loved us. So strong that we can love one another and we can love our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, we will be so strong in Christ that we'll be able to love our enemies. And in your kindnesses to your enemies, heap coals of fire upon their heads. Remember that statement in Scripture? You love your enemy so much it heaps coals of fire on their heads. What does that mean? You demonstrate such a different depth of character towards them than they do towards you, and it brings a sense of guilt and conviction upon their lives. And so he says, the riches of the glory of God infused into you as the Holy Spirit brings the presence of Christ into your life, placing within you all of the potential power of God Himself, as you yield to the influence of Christ that is dwelling in you, you will find yourself increasing in strength to exhibit the character of God Himself in your daily living. And so, he says in verse 20, now, moreover, let's take this to the next step to further grasp why this is possible. The Holy Spirit can make you strong in your inner man. The love of Christ can empower you to do amazing things contrary to reason in normal human thinking. You can be so strong in your inner man that you can love your enemies. In fact, you can, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, not only love your enemies, but bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And here's why you can do that. Now unto him that is able. Again, the word dynamite. The raw potential power of God. To him that is able to do above, that is to go beyond what we would normally think possible. In fact, he says, God is able to do abundantly beyond. That is, he is able to go past beyond. Surpassing what is beyond what we would normally think. In fact, that's not all. He is able to exceed abundantly beyond. And the interesting thing about the word exceed in the English is it's the same word in the Greek as above. And so it's telling us that God is able to go beyond what is abundantly beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. He is able to do all of this according to the power that worketh in us. Again, dynamite, the raw potential power that God brings with him when he dwells within us, and the working of it is the effect of working, the effect of operation of that raw potential power, so that the power exists within us and God will take his brakes off of it. He'll light the fuse, whatever needs to be done to unleash that power. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above according to the effective operation of his raw potential power through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. God places within us the resources of all of his divine power. And when we ask for something, or even when we just think we need something that corresponds to God's will, of course, God is able to do for us, and God is able to do in us, and God is able to do with us things that go so far beyond, so abundantly, so exceedingly abundantly above, far beyond anything that we could possibly think we might need, God is able to do so much more for us. So, what do you think and what do you ask for? Say, well, if God can do so much more than I can ask for, maybe I need to ask for a bigger house. Or maybe I can ask for a fancier car. Or maybe I can ask for expensive clothes. Or maybe I can ask for a lot of money, and God can do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask for. No, wait a minute. All of those things have to do with the outer man. This is about the inner man. He's not suggesting that we can ask for things and he would give us more than we ask for. He's telling us that he wants to build our inner man into a profoundly strong person that can exhibit the character of God in everything we do. Have you ever asked for humility? Have you ever asked for contentment? Have you ever asked for patience? Oh, you say, that's the one you don't ask for, right? You don't ask for patience because what's going to happen if you ask for patience? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God's going to take me through trials. I don't want patience because he's going to take me through. Now, wait a minute. Is God able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think? If you're afraid to ask for it, just think you need patience. And God is able to give you more patience than you ever imagined. Did you ever ask for kindness or boldness or cautiousness or compassion or decisiveness or diligence or discernment or discretion or endurance or forgiveness or gentleness or gratefulness or joyfulness or meekness or reverence or sincerity or virtue or wisdom? There are all kinds of things that we could ask for to build the character of our inner man. I wonder if we ever think about those things. Do we ever think we needed those? It's unfortunate that the tendency in our human minds is to place so much emphasis on the things we need for the outer man. And so little attention to the things we need for the inner man. And yet all these things, all these character qualities, God is able to give us all of these and so much more. In fact, God is able to give us so much more than all of this. If we would just let Christ not only be present, but actually dwell in our hearts and accept his influence so that he may day by day increase our capacity to exhibit the character of God. And thereby glorify him. And so he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God shines the light of his power in us. Let's be a reflection of that light to those who are around us. As we accept the influence of Christ in our inner man, to make us strong enough to exhibit the character of God himself. So that through us, others may see him for what he really is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your desire to influence our lives. Work in us to understand the capacity that is available to us in the inner man. Give us a focus on our heart that we may learn how to ask for and think for the strengthening of our inner man. To be Christ-like in all our ways. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.